It's a substantial amendment, so therefore you can take it up again. Go ahead, Tom. Senator McClintock.
Would you be kind enough to cite the provision that allows the measure to be amended or to be reconsidered after it is twice taken up and failed?
We'll get that for you.
Would you do that, please, before we proceed? Another parliamentary inquiry, Mr. President.
Senator McClintock, for what reason you rise?
The second parliamentary inquiry I would raise is whether the $2 million appropriation in the bill is also being amended out.
All right. We'll get you that, and why don't we go to another item that is on call. Senator Simidian, I'm prepared to lift the call on file item number 55. Secretary, please call the absent members.
Hollingsworth, Oropeza. Flores, no to aye.
Senator Simidian, what's your pleasure? All right. Ayes 20, noes 18. Measure fails. Senator Simidian, notice reconsideration. And that request for reconsideration without objection, ayes 38, noes 0. Senator Corbett, for what reason you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. For purpose of introduction?
Without objection.
Thank you. I'd just like to introduce my mayor, Mayor Tony Santos from the City of San Leandro, and Council Member Joyce Derosiak. They're also accompanied today by Assistant City Manager Steve Hollister here in the back. Please welcome them.
Welcome to the California State Senate. Senator Alquist, for what reason you rise?
Yes, for an adjourn in memory of?
Without objection.
I rise to adjourn in memory of Teresa Mary Johnson, co-founder and president of the Older Women's League. Teresa Mary was a fixture around the halls of the Capitol for the past 30 years. She died last Saturday of a heart attack. And although widowed in 1971 with 9 children, including 7-month-old twins, she found comfort and purpose by molding herself into a staunch advocate for people who had it worse than she. She did so while providing for her family and attending university classes to earn 3 degrees. In 1980, she helped to found the Older Women's League, or OWL as we know it, and she began to fight for older and midlife women. But there are so many things that she accomplished. She is best known for the way she combined firmness of being a disciplinarian with the warmth of a mother as she lobbied for changes in California policy. She will be warmly remembered by members and staff, and she certainly made wonderful contributions to the state of California and its women.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also want to add on to this remembrance. It's interesting. We all know what a significant difference one person can make. Normally, they start out earlier in life than Teresa Mary Johnson, but she certainly packed a lot into her activism time. She went back to Washington to lobby for COBRA. And I don't know, people now don't even remember before there was a COBRA, but of course it was a federal law that's made a difference in so many people's lives. Now, she worked with Governor Wilson to earmark tobacco funds for breast cancer research. She was really a wonderful woman, and of course, I don't think that her passing at the age of 70 was anything to do with being an older woman. I think 70 looks middle-aged to me now. And I think it's just a shame that she didn't get the next 30 years to work on the issues, including health care, that meant so much to her. We're really, really going to miss her. Thank you.
Senators, let me note the presence of former State Senator Steve Peace in the back of the chamber. Senator Alquist, if you could bring the name of Theresa Mary Johnson to the front so that we can appropriately memorialize her life. Senator Wiggins?
Yes. Members, I ask that we adjourn today in the memory of Joseph Ratigan, the former state senator and appellate court justice who died last Saturday in Santa Rosa. He was described, by the Press Democrat newspaper as one of a generation of young lawyers who came to California at the end of World War II and whose role in government changed the political direction of the state. Joe Ratigan was a decorated Navy veteran who served as an intelligence officer and PTB boat commander. A graduate of Stanford Law School, he served as president of the Sonoma County Bar Association. In 1958, he became, at age 38, the youngest state senator to represent Sonoma County in the legislature. He served 2 4-year terms in the Senate, authoring such legislation as the Ratigan-Burton Act, establishing the nation's largest state-based program of medical care for the elderly. That program was considered as a model for the federal Medicare system. He also authored legislation creating the State Department of Rehabilitation and co-wrote the Master Plan for Higher Education, establishing the current state university system. Former President Pro Tem James Mills, in a book that he wrote about the legislature in the 1960s, described Joseph Ratigan as the most universally respected man in either house. In 1966, Ratigan was appointed to the State Court of Appeal for the Northern California District, participating in over 3,000 appellate decisions in a career spanning almost 18 years. In closing, members, I'd like to read from an editorial in last Sunday's edition of the Press Democrat. Quote, in an era in which few politicians inspire us, the extraordinarily public life of Joe Ratigan remains a model to be emulated, an example of what can be achieved if people will hear the call of what Lincoln described as the better angels of our nature. Thank you.
Senator Wiggins, if you could bring the name of our former colleague, Senator Joe Ratigan, to the front so that we can appropriately memorialize his life. Senator Ridley Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. President and Senators. I suspect all of you were saddened as well as shocked by hearing of the untimely death of Yolanda Denise King. The daughter, the eldest daughter of Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott King. She resided in Santa Monica, a resident, constituent of Senator Kuehl's. She had her company in Culver City, the district that I represent. The best that a parent can hope is that the child honors their memory, their tradition, the purpose for which they were indeed created. We know her as Yoli early on, only because of the drama of the civil rights movement into which she was born as her young parents took the national stage to try to redeem the soul of America. She went on in her life to express, perhaps through her mother's own tradition as an artist, the way in which inspiration could be provided to a whole host of people. I recall seeing her on stage, working her craft. It was at the Agape International Spiritual Center that I last saw her with a broad smile, a lot of life, a lot of hope. This was prior to her mother's recent death, where she just gracefully communicated her deep and abiding appreciation for the respect and the regard shown her mother as she was declining in health. She then went on to do what I consider to be a stellar performance, as she was a very persuasive and effective actress. Mr. President, Senators, Yolanda Denise King has passed, and for those of us who are part of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, her father's legacy, we are simply saddened by this loss.
Senator Ridley Thomas, if you can bring the name of Yolanda King to the front so that we can appropriately memorialize her life. Senator Cox.
Mr. President, I do have an adjourned memory, but I would defer to Mr. President if he would. Oh, okay. Mr. President, Senator Steinberg and I asked the Senate to adjourn in memory of Walter P. Gray the Third. Walt Gray was a historian. He was a preservationist and an unabashed train buff who helped establish the California State Railroad Museum as a world-class celebration of the locomotive and its influence in the Golden State. He died on Tuesday. He was 54. He died after a year-long battle with liver cancer. He was recognized as an international expert on railroad history and museum operators who spent more than two decades in the California State Railroad Museum. In 1998, Mr. Gray was appointed the California State Archivist. He oversaw the opening of the former Golden State Museum and led efforts to catalog and make historical records available through the Internet. In 2004, he joined the California State Parks as the chief archivist. In addition to that, his colleagues remembered Mr. Gray as a warm and witty and soft-spoken man who gladly shared his enthusiasm for railroads and history, family and with his family and his friends. Colleagues recalled him as an upbeat, optimistic leader who went out of his way to support and mentor employees. Asked that the Senate, on behalf of Mr. Steinberg and I, adjourn in memory of Walter P. Gray III.
Senator Cox, if you could bring the name of Walter Gray III to the front so that we can appropriately memorialize his life. All right, members, I think that concludes the adjourned memory. We've got one other item that we need to dispense with, and that's Senator Flores. Senator McClintock, you had asked for reference, two reference, one by President and the other by Mason Rule 457, that after a substantial amendment that reconsideration can be granted. Senator McClintock.
The provision of Mason's that you've just cited says that it must be substantially amended before it is taken up the second time, not after. In order to substantially amend the measure, it would need to be reconsidered. It cannot be reconsidered under that very provision that you have just cited, and therefore cannot be amended into a substantially different form.
The President of the House is that you can amend twice, and based on Mason's rule, as I indicated, that after a substantial modification, that you can, in fact, then have that reconsideration for us.
Then let's be clear, Mr. President, that you are claiming this as a precedent of the House and not as a provision in either the adopted
it's a combination of the two, as I indicated.
No, Mr. President, the rules or the parliamentary authority, Mason, specifically prohibits reconsideration of a measure more than two times. In order to present a different question under the precedent that you have just cited, that a deletion of an urgency clause is, in fact, a substantially different measure. There were some of us who might argue with that, but let's accept that as a precedent of the House. In order for the urgency clause to be amended out of the measure, it must be reconsidered. Under the provision of Mason's you have just cited, it cannot be reconsidered. Therefore, it cannot be amended into a different form.
Correct. All right. With that, Senator McClintock, without objection, let me move this particular item, SB 115, to the Rules Committee.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. With that, Senator Parada, the desk is clear.
Thank you. With no further business to come before the House, we will stand in recess until 3:30 p.m., at which time we will place the adjournment motion. We will reconvene Monday at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock Monday, the Appropriations Committee will convene at 10, and the chair indicates that they have about 3.5 hours of work. Rather than interrupting that, we will just convene session later in that afternoon. So 2 o'clock on Monday. Thank you.
Sessions then at 2.